Grow Great, the podcast, episode 4012. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio, kids. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at Grow Great, the podcast. It's about building a great business. And the people that build great businesses, great leaders. Yeah, that's the deal. Today is episode 4012. You're going to love it. Yoda's an idiot. Attempts matter. Brought to you, as always, by my company, Bula, B-U-L-A, network.com. That's the website. Bula Network LLC is the company serving CEOs, business owners, and executives. You can find out more by going to the website. Well, you can go to Bula Network if you want, but just go to growgreat.com. You'll see everything you need right there. Good things come to those who wait. Many of us have heard that phrase. We've heard it all of our lives, and it sounds good. It extols the value of patience. And patience is a good thing, but it also sends a subliminal message that I think overvalues sitting still and hoping something good may come our way. Millions upon millions of people wake up every day hoping that something good might happen to them today. Some estimates report that over 150 million Americans play the lottery every year. Millions and millions and millions of people go to Vegas. They go to various other casinos around the country gambling in hopes that there'll be some payday. Games of chance provide unrealistic hope for way too many Americans and people all over the world. It's a high-risk, low-reward behavior, just like waiting for something good to happen. Let me make two book suggestions to you if you have not read these. Sir Ken Robinson's books, The Element and Finding Your Element. You find links over at the website. Just go to growgreat.com. Find episode 4012. It's the only reason there's episode numbers, by the way. Make it easier for you to find it. You don't have to remember the title. Just remember the number 4012. Go to growgreat.com. Plug in the number 4012 in the search box, and bam, it'll take you right there. I've got links to these two books, The Element and Finding Your Element. What we create for ourselves is our own responsibility, says Sir Ken. Well, he's not the only one that says that, and it doesn't matter who says it, it's right. What we create for ourselves is our responsibility. And we know that even if we do sometimes whine and moan and complain, and we all do, and when we look at our circumstances and they're not quite what we want, then yes, we can make excuses and we can complain and we can moan a little bit. It is what it is. That's what we do. That doesn't mean that it has to be the way you live your whole life. We're not born with a resume, argues Sir Ken. We create one. Boy, isn't that true. And thankfully, we can create a life, but then we can recreate a different life if we want to. Spend any time over at LinkedIn and you will find people who are in transition. Yep, you will find people in your circle of connections who are in transition. They are morphing from one thing to something else. Maybe they got tired of doing... I'm thinking of even some people that I know that are even kind of family related who abandoned one completely kind of occupation for something just as different as you can imagine. Gave it up. Why? Didn't want to do that anymore. Wanted to create a different life. Kudos. The message of the books, The Element and Finding Your Element, is to find something that you love, something that you're good at. You need both, because loving something isn't enough. You need to be good at it if you're really going to find your element. Now, this does not mean that you have to be the best. I mean, how many the best can there be? Well, one, it presupposes if you're not the best, then you can't be successful. Well, we know that's not true. Purpose, meaning, those are two words that you hear a lot from Sir Ken Robinson, and you've got to read those books and Google him. And if you haven't listened to his TED Talks, you really should. His one talk about how schools rob kids of creativity. I remember the month that it came out, I found it. It's been seen millions and millions and millions and millions of times, and for good reason. It is among the very best presentation speeches, if you please, that you'll ever hear. Just remarkable. Who cares what you think? How do you feel? I mean, brain power is great and all that, but it's not unique. Neither is data. Neither is information. We are living in a day and age today. Kids in the classroom who are learning facts and figures and dates like we did when I was in school. Boy, doesn't that seem rather ludicrous today when you're holding a 3 or 4 inch screen in your hand and you can go to Google and find anything you want? The world's filled with some bright people. Businesses are filled to the brim with some great brain power. It's not that unique. It's not that unique. You're not going to be the smartest person in every room. Somebody's going to be smarter. So it ain't about that. It's not about data or information. We're being flooded with data and information all day, every day. Perspective and context. That's important. And so are feelings. Not necessarily emotions, but feelings, deep feelings. How do you feel about what you're doing? How do you feel about what you need to do? I mean, don't think about it, not too much anyway. Just tap into your feelings. What you feel is necessary. I mean, come on, you know. Deep down, you really know. You don't need me or anybody else to tell you. Sunday afternoon, my favorite hockey team, the Dallas Stars, they were playing the Ottawa Senators in Ottawa. Jamie Benn is the captain of the Dallas Stars. He is a world-class left winger. In fact, some would argue that he arguably is the best left winger in all of professional hockey in the NHL. Well, Sunday afternoon, playing in Ottawa, his game sucked. I mean, he couldn't do anything right. And one of the announcers described his game as being like a blind man in a dark room looking for a black hat that wasn't there. Yeah, I chuckled. But can't you relate to that? A blind man in a dark room looking for a black hat that isn't there. And, you know, it did. It pretty much summed up Jamie's game. Later, that same announcer said he needs to get out of his own head. Too much focus on what's going wrong, and it just makes it worse. He needs to get out of his own head. Too much focus on what's going wrong. It just makes it worse. And boy, don't you know that that's true. You're not a professional hockey player, and I'm not either. But we can relate that to our life. You've done that before. I've done that before. Welcome to the human race. Here is a premier professional hockey player who loves the game, and he's played the game since he was very small, and he finds himself struggling. And yet he's in his element. I mean, did Jamie Benn just suddenly lose these skills? Did he forget how to skate well? Did he forget how to handle a puck? No. And we can eliminate injury or sickness, at least for now. I mean, because neither of those is hampering him, not on this day, not on Sunday. And he's like so many of us, professional player or no, we get in a funk. We just get in a funk. Now, for him, a major league professional grade mental funk. That's where he's at. And watching the game, none of us know what he's thinking during the game. But when you see him get on the bench after a shift that hasn't gone well at all, and hardly any of his shifts went well, the look on his face reveals how he's feeling. He is not feeling good. He's feeling badly. He's frustrated. He's struggling. The announcer's observation is likely accurate proof that even a top-notch professional athlete like Jamie Benn can suffer periods of self-doubt, too much focus on what's going wrong, too many questions about, you know, why can't I get this right? What is going on with me? Jamie will get it turned around. He knows it. I know it. All the other fans know it. Coaches know it. He has to do what you have to do when you're in a funk. He has to do what I have to do when I'm in a funk. He's got to start feeling better about himself. And he's got to love the process, and he's got to grab momentum. Can that happen in a flash? Well, sure. But you know what? It may take some time. It does for most of us because we're not robots. First, we have to kind of quieten down our head noise, and that is super, super tough, and it can take some time. We got to get in better touch with the feelings that drive us. Now, for Jamie Benn, I suspect, I don't know, but I suspect that it's his love and his joy for playing professional hockey, right? I mean, he's a young guy. It's the culmination of years and years and years of practice and preparation and hard work and family sacrifice and his sacrifice. And now he's a captain. He is a captain in the NHL. He has a lot to feel good about. He has a whole lot less to feel badly about. Well, what do you love? And what is it you want? Don't sweat about how it's going to happen. Just go make it happen. You'll figure it out as you go. Or just sit back and think. Okay, and then think some more. Maybe mind map it out. You one of those people? Are you a mind mapper? Map it out. Get your mind map program launched and map it out. Write out a strategy. Think about it some more and then edit it, share it, talk it over with some other people. Get a whole lot of feedback and then go back and recraft it again and let some other folks tell you everything you're doing wrong and let some other folks tell you everything you're doing right. And then tell me how you feel after you do all that. I'm going to tell you how you ought to feel. You ought to feel like crap. Because others may tell you how wonderful it is you being so prepared and all, or how important it is for you to have these KPIs, these key performance indicators, blah, 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 blah. I don't care about any of that. And neither should you. Attempts matter. Is it happening or not? If it's not happening, then what you're doing ain't working. And if it's not happening, then my question is, what are you going to do about it? You going to wait and see how things work out? You think time's going to fix it? It's a stupid tactic. It's also way too slow. No, instead, grab it. You know how to do that. Listen, grab it anywhere you can. When you're trying to make it happen, you can't be picky about getting just the right hold of it. Because frankly, any old hold is going to have to do. Now, maybe you'll find a better grip later on. That's okay. Maybe you won't. That's okay, too. But right now, the only thing that matters is that you got to grab it and you got to hang on. You're trying to make something happen. Attempts matter. Some weeks ago, some jack wagon gets me on the phone. He throws out some insane KPI out there saying, this is what success is going to take. And I'm just listening. I mean, it's not my place to talk him out of his expert opinion, no matter how wrongheaded I think it may be. You'll find way more pictures of me with my hand over my mouth because I'm a pretty decent listener. So I keep listening. And he continues to spew forth, you know, more idiotic tactical verbiage. And as I hang up the phone, I realize that he's one of those people who place no value, none, on attempts. Right? All that matters is success. And in his binary world, success is measurable. There's a KPI for that. People talk about there's an app for that. Don't you know people? I do. There's a KPI for that. He's wrong, though. He's wrong. Attempts matter. Attempts count. I've successfully raised kids. I'm watching my grandchildren successfully learn, This movie is happening all over the world in households raising children, especially small children. Children aren't succeeding at their first attempt. Some may not succeed after 100 attempts. It depends on what it is. But they're trying. They're attempting to learn how to crawl, walk, tie their shoes, ride a bike, skate, and guess what? Unless there is some disability, they all figure it out. It doesn't matter how inept we are as teachers or parents trying to teach them these things. It doesn't matter how inept they may be at picking up things quickly or slowly. They learn how to crawl. They learn how to walk. They learn how to tie their shoes. They learn how to ride bikes and skate and all the rest of it. They're attempting to learn to talk. They're attempting to learn to sing. They're attempting to learn to form complete sentences over and over, day after day, attempt after attempt, oftentimes failing. Many times early on, most times early on, failing. No parent, no grandparent worth their salt would bark out at a small child, "Well, you moron, can't you succeed at this?" Until you can do it right, completely right, the very first time, there's no use in trying. No, we don't say that. And yet too frequently, we operate with that mindset in our careers and in leading our businesses. Some folks, they just find it gratifying to talk about how winning is the only thing that matters. And as much as I push the notion here at Grow Great, as much as I push the notion of good execution, life has taught me that good execution hinges on attempts. And depending where you are in the process, just like the children, in learning to tie their shoes, depending on where you are in the process of learning it, the first attempts might not look very good, but it doesn't matter. Oh, perfect practice. Perfect practice makes perfect. Well, that sounds good. It's wrong. It sounds wise, but it's foolish. The first attempts are likely anything but perfect. And besides, if you could practice it perfectly, then you'd have it down and you would execute with stellar results. No, we practice in order to get it right. So go out there, take your swings. Yeah, go out there and take your swings. Give it a go. Make an attempt. Then make another attempt. Ignore all these people who try to convince you that it does not matter unless you're winning. They don't know what they're talking about. They likely haven't tried nearly enough stuff. My experience has taught me that these same people are among some of the least innovative, the least creative people on the planet. And I don't know about you, but when I look back over my most memorable accomplishments of my professional life thus far, well, and you know what? I make it even argue that it's true in my personal life. The biggest ones, the biggest accomplishments resulted from me trying something where I wasn't dead solid sure of the outcome. Well, I know I could translate it over into my personal life. My wife, Rhonda, my wife of now 30 years, I asked her out. I didn't know the result. I didn't know where this thing would lead. I didn't know that that 4 decades later, I'd still be with this girl, but I am. I gave it a go. It worked out. I didn't know if it would work or not. And there's so many things in my professional life. Me and my team, we tried some things. Do we know that these will work? No, we think they'll work. We feel like they'll work. Only one way to find out. Try. Yoda's a moron. Yoda is a moron. There is big value in trying. So think of that big thing. Shoot, think of that small thing. That thing that you're not sure if it will work or not, but you think it may. Try it and find out. Visit the website, growgreat.com. I'd love it if you connect over there. I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear what your story is. My story, I serve CEOs, business owners, and executives, even city government leaders. Yeah, do some of that too. I'm currently in the throes of talking to some CEOs, kind of interviewing some CEOs to form a new Vistage CEO peer group here in the DFW area. If you want to know more about that, you can find out by going to growgreat.com. Just snoop around. My name is Randy Cantrell. I greatly appreciate you being here and clicking play. I hope you'll hit subscribe so you don't miss an episode. I'd love it if you would share the podcast. Go over to iTunes. Leave me a review if you find any value in what we do here. You know, the main goal here is not to hawk anything. The real goal is just to provoke you to think, which in turn, I hope, provokes you to take some action that will move you forward to building a great business. And the first thing you got to do is become a great leader. So I am hoping to do that for you. Thanks for listening. And greetings from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, inside the Yellow Studio.